Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
All right, before we get to some of your text messages, time for your chance to win $1,000. It's 560 WQAM's Take Dono's Dollars. Your chance to take home $1,000. Text the word sugar to 72881 and you're registered. That's sugar. S-U-G-A-R. Why are you smiling? To 72881.
Probably a good
right
idea
now.
For me to cut back on sugar.
Probably, yes. If you don't win this time, your next chance at the top of the next hour with Dono and Frito. This is a national contest. Message and data rates may apply. Don't text and drive. It's all brought to you by Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys. Call 1-800-747-FREE. Sugar. Text that to 72881 right now for your chance to win $1,000. Dono's $1,000.
All right, I want to ask both of you guys this question before we get to these.
Okay.
Bonds never gets in. Barry Bonds.
I think he eventually does. Sooner, I mean, not sooner rather than later, but eventually.
All right.
At one point.
Well, here's the thing. Like, I mean, you can't just say Bonds to me. Like, you
I'm getting ready
all
to throw
those guys in there.
I know, but
if one gets in, they all get in.
He's got monster numbers.
762 home runs.
Is Bonds going to get in? Like, it's either all or none.
I don't know about
that. No, I don't know about that because is Sammy Sosa lumped in there? I don't think he's a Hall of Famer.
I mean, he kind of has to be in that conversation. A lot of those guys have to be in that conversation.
I think of the whole group, of that whole group of guys that are known steroid guys, Alex Rodriguez gets in first.
Okay.
Do you agree?
I don't agree that any of them end up getting. I think the writers have such, you know, they're on these
know,
high horses, and
but
I don't think that they're going to let any of these guys in.
A-Rod's been more acceptable and doesn't run and hide. Palmeiro disappeared. I mean, we've had, you know, the stories. McGuire disappeared for a long time before coming back into baseball. I just think the way A-Rod's handled things and somewhat told everybody, yeah, I made some mistakes, right? I mean, he doesn't get into it. He doesn't tell us how long he did it. You know, he hasn't said, you know, most of my years, 85% I was clean. He said I made some mistakes, but. You don't think that's part of it?
I mean, I'm just guessing these guys
aren't sitting around. You're getting in by humans. Your other humans are voting for you.
Yeah, I know. I understand. But I don't think they're sitting around like, oh, A-Rod was so apologetic, and he admitted it. Now he's done a really nice job on TV turning his life around.
Well, he has.
I don't think that has anything to do with it. I think these guys
look at
these guys.
You don't think anything to do with it? Then why didn't T.O. get in right away for the thing?
They look at these guys. It's a different sport. They look at these guys as cheaters. And they lump them into a group. And I don't think that group with these current writers are going to get in.
Some of them are not very nice human beings.
Yeah,
come across as really bad dudes.
Roger and Barry, right?
Roger's another. Just comes across a real
Curt Schilling, too, like another one of these guys that just.
Curt, but Schilling's just his political stuff is just rubbed.
A lot of people the wrong
way. The wrong way. I mean, that's just a fact. And this is not to get into politics.
No.
He's just gone over the top and. He was, you know, so he hasn't helped himself, and he rips the writers, which you got to kiss a little ass, Hall of Fame writer ass, you got to do that.
But soon there's going to be new, younger Hall of Fame writer butt to kiss.
But we don't talk about Schilling with he's not lumped in with that stuff. He's a different, nobody's saying Schilling ever did any.
No, all right.
Any juice.
Okay, so, but Clemens, Bonds, I'm looking at the top of the list last year that didn't get in. They got votes.
What percent did they get?
Clemens got 59.5%.
See, he's getting close, man.
Bonds got 59.1%.
They're flirting.
You need 319 votes for election. Clemens at 253, Bonds at 251. That's a couple old guys jumping off, a couple new young guys jumping in.
I just think that the younger voters are going to go, what the F? Let them roll. Anyway, what do we got coming in on the Kendall Toyota and West? Kendall Toyota text line 56022.
All right. Someone says, Joe, I agree with Hollywood. None of these guys are getting in, but it would be nice to know how long they took all their PEDs.
Well, that would be the huge. I've had guys send me stuff and said, you know, I don't want to say their name. Certain guys down here took stuff since high school. I don't know if that's true.
As the writers,
we do have a lot of high school guys taking.
Oh yeah, we know. Here. Yeah, of course. As the writers age out, the younger ones will vote for the steroid folks.
I think so too.
That's what I think. That's why I think.
Which way would you vote? Would you vote them in?
Would you vote Bonds
like if
in
you
right
to
now?
Vote this upcoming year. Would you vote them in?
Not yet.
Clemens?
What do you mean not yet? Either you'd vote for him or not. What do you mean not yet? What are you waiting on?
Because I don't like some of them. See, I'm being really honest. I'm telling you, like some guy, I don't like Roger. I respect what he did as a player.
But you can't vote that way.
I know, but that's the way.
That's how a lot of writers do it.
You don't think they're that way. You act like everybody's, I'm taking all my thoughts of this.
It.
And even though he's always been a jackass to me, come on.
So if they approached you and they're like, hey, Joe, we know you're the only guy in Miami that talks about baseball. We'd love for you to vote in this year's Hall of Fame ballot. Would you accept the vote and that's how you would vote?
I wouldn't let any of those guys in yet. But they already broke it because Pudge is in. And I think Pudge was just as dirty as the rest of them.
Okay.
My personal belief, and I don't know, is Pudge got real dirty. You play with the Texas Rangers, man. Go through that list of guys. You want to go through guys, the big boppers.
We all said kind of no to Sosa, but he's got 609 home runs. How do you keep a guy out of the Hall of Fame that's got that many home runs, Joe?
He's not only hiding, he tried to change his color a little bit. Come on,
we forgot how to speak English, remember?
A new level. That too.
Forgot. Oh, no. What? I don't know how to speak this language.
He got a little crazy. Yeah.
His speech would be must-watch TV, though.
Oh, yeah.
He's a strange guy.
Someone says Pete Rose is going to get in after he dies. It's going to be a lot of pressure to put him in after he passes away.
Well, that's great. Punish him that way? Pete, you're dead. We're going to do it for your fan. Pete, now that you're dead, hey, guys, all you guys who want Pete in, he can be in. Now he's dead. That's nice.
You remember when Peyton Manning got caught with PEDs being shipped to his house and he tried blaming it on his wife also? That got swept under the rug due to his retirement.
Listen, we got guys, they're taking stuff to heal. And nobody says a word in football.
Yeah, that's right.
They pay their suspension. Who did JT call? Oh, Merriman. JT was like, dude, I'm tired of guys friggin' doing stuff to try to get over the top. Because JT stayed at like 235, his whole 240, 240, and he went. Finally, Merriman was sitting out there getting bigger and bigger. He said, enough, man.
Whatever happened to him? I haven't seen him in a while.
It's Merriman. Isn't he doing UFC stuff?
Is he? I don't even know.
I think he is.
Wow. Interesting. If Bonds, Clemens, Sosa, etc. don't get into the Hall of Fame, why would Brady get into the Hall of Fame? They're all cheaters.
I just think it's completely different what Brady did.
He did get busted for,
I'm just telling
for
you,
cheating.
I think what Brady did, taking some air out of a friggin' ball, you still got to throw it.
Yeah.
And his team, if they didn't throw one football in that game, they're going to win by 40.
I know that.
I mean, nobody wants to talk about
but
that.
But the league suspended him for cheating.
Okay. And guess what? My belief is he's the greatest player.
Me too. I agree with that.
Greatest quarterback of all time.
They get suspended for cheating.
If you don't vote for Brady, you should have your vote taken away.
I want to see him not get in first ballot, and I want to see the one dude that didn't vote for him.
Yeah.
I want that guy
That's
called
one
out.
Grumpy, miserable human being if you didn't put Brady in.
Oh, it's a Buffalo writer. I wonder why. Well, that guy Brady's used to cover the Jets.
You know, Brady's played so long, he got two Hall of Fame careers. It's like you divide it in half. Tom Brady's in twice in the Hall of Fame.
Put him in twice.
Did he say the other day he was the last player from the 2000 draft that's left
yes.
in the league?
I said that.
Is that right?
You know who the other one was? Sebastian Janikowski, who just retired.
Wow.
It was him and Brady, the last two guys from the 2000 draft. I told
Holy
Hollywood
smokes.
And blew his mind. He could not believe that.
Wow. Because
I heard it and said, really?
That's crazy.
But that's the 2000 draft that's almost two decades ago, and he's still playing. Mm. How many guys don't last in the league 5 years?
Yeah, somebody got a little creative, though, bringing up Brady with these guys.
I know. The cheaters, that's why. Yeah. Someone that, don't forget Sosa's corked bat. Outside of everything else.
You guys remember when Sosa was killing it, and this SI writer, I forgot who it was, one of the Sports Illustrated writers came into the locker room, came into the clubhouse and said, Sammy, come with me right now and get tested. Sammy got all upset.
Of course.
So just go get tested so we can finish
just
all this stuff around
you. Just take a urine test
you.
Right now. Yeah, whatever.
Come
blood
on, let's
test,
go
yeah.
do it. I got it all set up. Come with me, and let's get it done so we can tell everybody these 660-foot bombs you're hitting that
are real.
Like, seriously, breaking windows across the street. We can. Crazy.
All right, last one before we get to Sage Rosenfeld. Someone said, Joe, Pete Rose should fake his own death, go into hiding, get in the Hall of Fame, and then pop out alive afterwards. Hey, hey! Look who's back.
I think a lot of people, by the way, we're laughing about it, think when Pete's dead, then everybody's going to be nice to Pete.
Sure.
Freaking can't even enjoy it.
Sean Merriman announced the Chargers' second-round pick. Didn't see it. Someone just texted that.
He did?
Yeah, didn't see it.
All right, listen, we got to go to break here. Sage Rosenfels, former NFL quarterback with the Miami Dolphins and a writer for The Athletic, is going to join us. We'll talk to him about it. We got Brady Quinn going to join us here in this 9 o'clock hour, so we got a lot of stuff going on here. Radio.com.
All right, let's jump out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. We're going to talk to Sage Rosenfels, former NFL quarterback here for the Dolphins. Also writes for The Athletic. Locked On NFL podcast. Stays busy now that he's not a quarterback in the NFL. And former tennis partner of Joe Rosenfels.
There you go,
I
want to say this. Through all the years, Sage has been the best tennis player.
What was your record against Sage?
No, he was good.
Winning record or no?
No, okay. I won games, but he's tough. He was good, man. Apparently played a little tennis growing up or something. He's one of these guys I think played everything as a kid.
Is that right?
Sage, you played everything as a kid, I'm guessing?
This is not everything. I didn't play hockey. That's about the only thing I didn't play. I was a five-sport athlete in high school. And that's what happens. You come from a small town. The good athletes have to play everything. And we had four seasons in Iowa. And in the springtime, I played tennis and ran track at the same time. So what I remember about playing tennis against Joe Rose is that whether I won or lost doesn't really matter, is that by the end of it, I had such a good workout because Joe just slices it. And he just keeps it in, never goes for it. And then you're just completely exhausted by the time you're done with the first set.
It's not how I remember it, but thanks for that. Sounded a lot better. I appreciate you saying that. But now I want to let you know, with Josh Rosen, you're now the second best player because he was a five-star tennis player as like a 12-year-old. He's one of the best in the country. I never knew that till the other day.
I need to get back to South Florida and play a little tennis with Josh Rosen, maybe go out to dinner, maybe introduce him to a few people that I knew when I was there, get him acclimated to the South Florida community.
That's pretty good. By the way, you never made this home, and I thought for a second, man, because people liked you, you would. You never came back. You dumped us like a bad date, Sage. You really did.
I'm from the Midwest, and it's nice to be able to raise my kids fairly close to the relatives.
Yeah, I got
you. Grandparents and things like that. That's nice. But I tell you, it was about 47 degrees yesterday and raining.
Oof.
So, today's May 1st. And so, there's a lot of days I wish I was living in South Florida and those type of things. I do try to get there about once a year, and I was down there for a weekend this winter. So South Florida is such a great place to go and visit. For me, and I maybe someday I will end up living there.
Sage, the low yesterday here was 83. Yeah. Just want to throw that out there.
It was a
the
smoke
low.
Show.
It was
here.
Cold. Yeah, it was cold yesterday.
And not the women. It was a smoke show.
No.
It was really hot.
All right,
here.
Sage, you brought him up. What were your first thoughts when the Dolphins traded for Josh Rosen?
Well, he got great value. I mean, I think that's a great thing. And anytime you can get a quarterback who, even if he ends up just being a starter for 1 year, you're going to get to have a chance to. Have this kid who was a lot of people said that if he came out this year, he probably would have been the second pick the second quarterback picked in the draft. And so, obviously he has some ability, and I think the Dolphins get a chance to, at a franchise quarterback for at least, cost wise, a second round pick. Yes. But, financially, almost nothing. And so, that's sort of been a new, sort of business model that a lot of NFL teams have been doing, have that cheap quarterback, which means you can add other pieces to the pie, whether, in free agency or whatever, because you have so much more salary cap room. I mean, he's only costing Dolphins a couple million bucks a year, and a lot of quarterbacks are costing $25, $30 million. All that money can be spent somewhere else. So I think it was a great move by Chris Greer, and hopefully the beginning of a whole bunch of good moves to get this franchise back in the playoffs.
Sage, did you see enough last year? I know we played on a bad team, obviously. It's not just a quarterback problem in Arizona. That was a rough team. Did you see enough to see upside that I mean, I don't think he's going to be his best after 1 year. He's going to get better, but you got to have some help with you, especially on the O line, right?
Yeah, you couldn't see enough last year. You saw enough that you saw some good things and you saw some bad things. But listen, he was a rookie, and I just go back to, you know, when I was a rookie, I had no chance. If I would have played as my rookie year, I probably wouldn't have seen year two. And thank God I didn't play for a couple years, allowed myself to develop and learn from the veterans ahead of me. And he got thrown out there, and not just as a rookie, but as a rookie on probably one of the worst rosters, if not the worst roster, and definitely the worst offensive line in the NFL. So it's really hard to tell if this kid's going to be, you know, really, really good. He's probably not going to be Dan Marino, you know, of this long list, and I'm on that list of quarterbacks since the great Dan Marino retired. But it doesn't mean that he can't be, better than Tannehill and somewhere between, you know, Ryan Tannehill and Dan Marino and be a quarterback that could get this team into the playoffs. So you got to give it some time, and he's a young guy, and I believe your coaching staff. I'm a big believer in development. You know, I came into the league as a fourth-round draft pick. You know, didn't think I was probably going to play that long in the league, a lot of people thought, and I developed and I developed and I developed, and you know, next thing you know, I had 12 years in the league. So I'm a big believer in development, and I think this kid, you know, does have some upside that he'll get better, and he's got to have the right pieces around him, but got to have good coaching. Coaching is so important in football, in particular for a young quarterback, and you got to have that piece. I think more than, you know, having a good left guard or a really good receiver. Got to have that right coaching to put the whole thing together.
Sage, obviously, when the draft comes around, quarterbacks are the big topic. Kyler Murray, we knew for a couple weeks or thought for a couple weeks would be the no-brainer number one. Haskins would be the next guy picked. And then maybe at the end of the first round, we might see a Daniel Jones, or we'll see if it maybe is a second-round pick. Were you shocked? Not by Kyler Murray at one, but all of a sudden, number six, the Giants picked Daniel Jones, and at 15, there goes Haskins?
No, I wasn't shocked. It's funny, we're talking about all these teams I played for, the Redskins, the Giants, and obviously the Dolphins. But, you know, I was not that shocked by Daniel Jones. I mean, obviously the sixth pick, you think, man, that is really high. People had him as maybe a mid-first rounder, maybe a late first rounder. I think the Giants had him as their second, probably the second best quarterback in the draft. And, you know, if this is the kid you want, to risk somebody else also really liking him and, you know, trading down and trying to pick him at 20. Well, if he's the guy you want, he's the guy you got to draft. And so they went ahead and picked him maybe a little bit high, but again, it's a quarterback is different than a left tackle or a defensive end or something like that. So I watched some film on Daniel Jones. I think he could be a good player. He gets the ball out quick, and that's what I think is different amongst a lot of these college quarterbacks. You know, the pro game, that the pass rush is so much quicker. The defensive ends are, you know, they are chomping at the bit to get their 10, 11 sacks so they can get those huge contracts. And you don't see quarterbacks taking, you know, 2, 3, 4 hitches very often. They get the ball out. And I watched the game this year. I watched them play Clemson. I realize this is Duke versus Clemson. So one team with, you know, star players everywhere and first-round draft picks in particular on that defensive line. And Duke very much undermanned, but could probably win the ACT battle between the two, you know, very, very easily. So Daniel Jones was getting the ball out quick. He was accurate. He was making quick decisions with an undermanned team, and I thought he played pretty well in that game. So, you know, when I look at all these quarterbacks, I look at do they make good decisions and are they accurate? And for the most part, Daniel Jones makes good decisions and he's accurate. Of course, sometimes he doesn't, but for the most part, he does. And that's on a team that doesn't have a talent that the teams that he's going up against has. And so I think all those things are a good sign that he could be a legit NFL quarterback. But, you know, we'll have to see. It seems like these first rounders, you know, half end up being pretty good and half end up stinking. And usually there's about as many good fourth or fifth rounders end up coming through the draft that end up starting too compared to all the first rounders. And so, you know, I look back to like the Cam Newton draft with, you know, Jake Locker and Gabbert. You know, those three, you know, which one's going to be the best one? I mean, it wasn't even close. Locker lasted about 3 years in the league and retired, and Gabbert's been pretty much a career backup the entire time, and then Cam Newton was an MVP. And so you just don't know with these first rounders. But I do see the reasoning behind the Daniel Jones pick, just because, as I said, he gets the ball out quick, which I think is very conducive to be an NFL quarterback. And two, he makes quick decisions, and he's a pretty accurate thrower. So, you know, we'll see, and time will tell, and you have to wait, you know, 3 or 4 years, and I guess I'll know that answer not immediately, but in a couple years.
Say, just looking at rosters right now, I never thought I'd say this. Could the Cleveland Browns have the best on paper off-season roster of anybody in the league right now? Is there a chance?
I'll tell you what. They've really gone for it, and they've really improved their team. And again, here's another team, and even though Baker Mayfield is a first pick in the draft, but they've got that rookie quarterback. When you've got that rookie quarterback, you can spend that other $20 million on other pieces around the team and upgrade that roster. And free agency, they've done a nice job in the draft too, but to go out and give up that draft pick because they think they could probably win now. You know, it's sort of the Jared Goff recipe that they're doing out in the L.A. Rams is, if we can go out and add a whole bunch of pieces right now when our quarterback is cheap, we can really make a run. And they did find a very good quarterback. It does start there. All these additions don't really matter if your quarterback stinks. And Baker Mayfield's going to be legit. He's a guy that has always made good decisions on the field, whether it's at Oklahoma or his rookie year, made a lot of good decisions. And he's very accurate. And he's got a much stronger arm than people think. And so you put those things together. You give them some weapons and you improve that defense. I think this team's going to be much better. I think people are sort of overselling like they're going to be a playoff team for sure. Or they might win that division. I don't think they're there yet, but they're going to be a contender and they're going to be right in the mix. And they're obviously going to be much, much improved over where they were just a couple years ago.
Good luck trying to cover all those guys on that friggin'
only
team.
Only one football,
God,
Joe.
Man.
You say it all the time.
Only one football. Hey, but before we go, I wanted to ask you something you said, because we're trying to figure out down here where we have struggled to find drafted guards, although we hope we got one from Wisconsin and can play right now. You think most of that's coaching, or you think just guys just flat out can't play? I always wonder because I watch this New England, not to bring up New England, but I can't do one NFL interview without bringing up New England. They just put guys in there, and the next thing you know, they're getting $60 million contracts 1 year. Big left tackle gets paid over the top with Oakland. Help me out on that. More coaching, or what is it?
So I believe that, I think the quarterback, and of course I'm biased, but the quarterback's the toughest position to play amongst all the positions in the NFL. I think the offensive line is the toughest position to coach. You got to coach five different guys, and you're also working with the tight ends and running backs and things like that, but you're coaching five guys to be perfect on every play, but also go against superior athletes on the other side of the football. The defensive line, the defensive ends, the linebackers, those guys are just simply better athletes than offensive linemen. So you sort of got your work cut out for you from the get-go just based off of how the sport is. And I've always said, listen, people talk about Belichick and Brady in New England and the dynasty that they've had, and of course that Miami has been on the other end of for the last, 18, 19 years now.
Yeah, it's almost two decades, yeah.
Yeah, amazing, right? But Dante Scarnecchia, the offensive line coach there, to me, should be in the Hall of Fame someday. I mean, this guy has just been incredible. He retired, the Patriots fell off a little bit, he came back, and now they've been going to Super Bowls again. He is incredible. And I couldn't even tell you one player along the offensive line in New England, and they're one of the best in the league. And not because it's of all this talent, but because of coaching. And okay. I do think coaching at that position is the most important sort of coaching spot in all of football, whether it's college or pros. If you're ever a head coach, I'm going to go out and pay whatever I have to pay to get the offensive line, the best offensive line coach money can buy or that's available. The problem is, if you're good, usually you don't become available,
yeah.
Right? So,
right.
That's the issue with it. So, there's not all coaches are the same. There's 32 offensive line coaches in the NFL, and there's a lot of really good ones, and then there's some that aren't so good. So, you got to find that good offensive line coach before you can put a good old line together.
Sage, appreciate the time, buddy.
Thanks, Sage.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, man. Don't be afraid to come to South Florida and say hello to us, man. We always like to see the Sage Meister. Thank you, sir.
Next time I come down there, I'll stop by and say hi. We'll play a little tennis. We'll meet up with Brett Tesler.
Oh, my gosh. Tesler, you're right. I forgot.
Maybe we'll make a visit to the Chris Chambers wide receiver school or whatever Chris has got going on.
You know what? Did he shut that thing down?
I think he might have.
He might shut it down. But he's still down here. Yeah. We still see Chris.
He's got a podcast, though.
He's doing. We'll catch up. Thanks, Sage.
See you, Sage.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me.
Sage Rosenfeld, former NFL quarterback and writer for The Athletic and Locked On NFL podcast.
All right, we got Brady Quinn coming up. Radio.com. Radio.
By the way, if you missed the code word for 9 a.m. for Dono's Dollars, it was sugar. Text it to 72881. Joe's got a handful of sugar as he just came up here.
Bro, I don't need sugar. I'm fighting this weight thing enough, man. I'm trying to eat healthy.
Well, you're doing all right. All right, let's go to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline, and let's bring on Brady Quinn, former NFL quarterback. You see him all the time on CBS, sports.com, on Fox. He's all over the place. Also got the Third and Goal Foundation as well. Brady, good morning. How are you, buddy? What's going on?
I'm doing well, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, Mel. Thanks for coming on. Hey, Brady, I was thinking about you as soon as this Rosen deal was done. We got some people upset we didn't take, because I did the draft party at the stadium, that we didn't take Haskins. What'd you think of the Rosen deal? I know we've only seen him for 13 games, played for an Arizona team that you're aware of that wasn't the best team in football. What's your take on what we're getting in year two with this kid?
Yeah, so I think there's a few different things. So from the financial standpoint, look, Arizona drafted him number 10 overall. They've paid the bulk of this rookie deal. So you're getting him at a huge discount. And there's no doubt about it. He's one of the more talented passers coming into the league last year as a prospect out of UCLA. I got a chance to call a number of his games there. And so from a financial standpoint, you're getting a guy who's got a lot of upside for a minimal cost. That's huge for you, especially if you're trying to build this franchise and build this team back up. The next thing is, you know, you're getting a player who's got a little bit of NFL seasoning. But, you know, going back at last year, I got a chance to call a couple of Arizona Cardinals games. That team was decimated. You know, their offensive line had two guys who were starting at the end of the season. I called a game versus Detroit and a game versus Seattle. Two guys who got there 2 weeks prior on the roster and were starting in those games. Oh. And they had two other rookies outside of that. Their entire starting five was completely different by week four of the season, I want to say. So that's one issue, right? No protection.
That's
no
a big
running
one.
Game. David Johnson looks like a shell of himself. And on top of that, you have Mike McCoy, who's their offensive coordinator, gets fired 5-6 weeks into the season. And so Byron Leftwich takes over, who's, yeah, good former NFL quarterback player. He's never called plays before, let alone plays of an offense that it's not one that he played under.
Yeah.
So the entire situation, and by the way, Christian Kirk, his probably most explosive wide receiver, was out too for a strong portion of the season. So you couldn't have drawn up a worse scenario to call a rookie into and ask him to win games. Mind you, the last 3 weeks of the season, everyone's saying his head coach is going to get fired too. I'm sure this team was really inspired. So the bottom line is, last year I think you could kind of throw out a little bit. And honestly, I'd look at it as he learned a lot. He showed a lot of toughness. He showed a lot of ability too with a team with not many tools out around it. So I've got a lot of optimism for what he can potentially be for the future for the Dolphins at the quarterback spot.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. I didn't know all that stuff. I'm embarrassed to tell you, doing the Dolphin games, I had no idea about some of that stuff. That's unbelievable.
Arizona was in trouble last year. You could tell just by everything. All right, so I have a question. So what I just heard from you, you think it's a good trade, good value trade for the Dolphins. Why do I got beat writers and guys covering this team that are just every negative spin possible on this Josh Rosen deal? When I looked at it and said, just like you did, money's good. It's a 2-year deal, basically, and it can be the backup, even if you're going after the Tua draft next year. Why is there so much negative on this kid?
Well, you know, I don't know how much negative is that it's actually real. You know, honestly, what I'd say is most people are dumb. So that includes a lot of people that are people that cover these teams. I don't care if they feel – I honestly don't care if they feel disrespected by it. They don't watch the film. They don't understand it. That's a portion of it. The other thing is, you know what it is? Josh Rosen has the type of personality where we tend to be rubbed the wrong way by people who sometimes are really smart. And it's because they make us feel dumb. And so we leave those conversations thinking, like, I don't really like that guy. And Josh Rosen is a really, really smart, thoughtful kid, and he looks at things differently. And that's not a bad thing. It's just it's very unique for the quarterback position. But we kind of like our quarterbacks to sometimes not be the most intellectual or the most thoughtful about things outside of football or the world or, you know, talking about teammates and trying to see from their vantage point how they see things. So look, I've been around this kid enough to know anything that he was questioned about coming into the league, I think he answered that with a lot of mental toughness, his physical toughness, if he could take the beating that he took last year. And for all the people who for whatever reason, want to, you know, bash him, whether it was Steve Smith, who senior, who knows nothing about him. I mean, literally doesn't know anything about this kid. He's hyper-competitive. You know, this kid, you know, growing up played really, really high level of tennis, solos tennis or singles tennis at a really high level and was uber, uber competitive. And so I don't have any reservations about this guy fitting in the locker room, being a good teammate, all that stuff. I think all that stuff is overblown, and it's a narrative that people want to write because they're lazy and they don't watch the film or they don't take the time to get to know the kid.
Yeah, man, that's pretty strong stuff. Boy.
I feel better now. Thank you.
Brady. Yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Way to go. You got Brady going this morning. That's
I
good.
Just wanted to ask because Brady had nothing but good things to say. And I know Brady was Pac-12 guy. I was out with him in L.A. Nice. A couple years back. And I understand that. So, I'd rather go from a guy that saw him or called his game than a couple of our writers.
I'll never forget, you know, the first – because here's the thing. A lot of people's first impression of Josh Rosen was when he was a freshman. He put a hot tub in his dorm room. Right, and so he eventually had to take it out, and he had made some controversial statements about, you know, college players being paid and all this stuff.
That's right.
And all of a sudden, like, that becomes controversial. It's like, wait, he's not the first person, not the last person, and not the only person to talk about college players being paid, for starters. And the second thing is the hot tub in his dorm room. He's a freshman, for God's sakes. And it's a great idea. I don't know why more students don't have a hot tub in their dorm room out in Southern
Brady,
California.
Brady, it's genius. It's genius.
Hey, if you got family that can afford it, I'm all in, man. Yep. If mom and dad got that kind of scratch and they want to put it in there.
By the way, and everyone wants to knock the kid because his parents are rich. Oh, that's his fault? Like, it's his fault he was born into a wealthy family? Yeah, let's hate the kid because he's got everything going for him. We should just hate this kid for that reason.
Yeah. By the way, that ain't all bad. If that would have happened to the Rose fam, I'd be all right with that one,
me
too.
Me too. Yep. Sign me up.
Hey, so let me ask you the final thing with Josh. Ryan Fitzpatrick's here. They're talking about wanting open competition, and it sounds good, and I'm sure it will be to start. But you get Josh Rosen in here a second. You got to see him play some, right? I mean, the open competition, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think you need to just because, you know, what you traded for him, you know, a second and a fifth, what you got, you know, and what was traded for, it doesn't exclude you from going back in the draft next year, potentially the first round, if you don't feel like he's the guy. So I think you take a really good look at him. You know, you kind of know what Ryan Fitzpatrick is. You don't necessarily know what Josh Rosen is. So give him every opportunity to show you what he is and see if he can be the guy. Because I'll tell you this much, if he can be, there's going to be some studs in the draft next year. You know, our offensive line was there. Walker Little's a guy to Stanford. A lot of people are kind of high on. There's some other guys too. You get thrown into that conversation. Chase Young, defensive end at Ohio State. He'll be one of the top picks that everyone's talking about, much like Bosa this year. He seems to be the next guy that people are going to want to try to take with one of those top picks. So if he can be the guy, I mean, you get him at such a tremendous discount.
Yep.
You were able to get additional picks for him, and you're also able to still build on defense, which is, I'm sure, what Brian Flores would like to do.
By the way, is there one writer that – now I got to get back to this thing. Now you got me. Is there one writer that kind of gets you salty in town? Like, you, I don't want to say you dislike him, but just disagree with a lot of stuff that he writes?
I don't know if there's anyone in particular. You know, Omar Kelly's the one that you kind of hear him popping off sometimes on radio, and it's just, you know, I'm looking at it thinking, you know, how much of the football does this guy actually know? Like, it's one, like, look, we all go to movies, right? And we all watch a movie, and some people come away and say, oh, it was a great movie, bad movie, whatever, but it's not like people actually went to school for it to learn what makes it a great movie, what the cinematography is, and everything else behind it, right? And so that's how I compare it. Like, I'm sorry, bro. Like, you didn't play. You didn't go to school. You don't know what you're looking at. So to sit there and say, you know, your opinion should matter more than others, I don't necessarily see it the same way. But, look, I mean, again, those guys try to work hard at what they do. I just, you know, there's just a basic understanding that I think a lot of people don't, and people then try to bash like these sorts of moves by the Dolphins. And I thought between their draft and what they got with Rosen, which I think you have to make a part of it, really gives them a lot of upside for potentially being able to be a team that's going to be able to compete in the AFC East with all these other teams who've got young quarterbacks they took in Rosen's draft.
Brady, you were excellent today.
Man,
I appreciate it, guys.
Excellent.
I don't understand it. I don't understand why the media takes these negative tones with some of these guys when they have no clue. But yet, I mean, even Steve Smith. Like, I have no idea why Steve Smith felt the reason to go off of a kid and say he didn't want to compete. I'm like, have you actually ever talked to this kid? Like, this kid will literally, the first time I ever spoke to him, I felt like we were competing for, like, football IQ. Like, he was trying to test my knowledge of football. And he was a freshman sophomore.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I walked away thinking, who is this little jerk? And then I walked away kind of thinking, I think I like that kid. I think he's kind of ballsy. I like it.
Yeah, that's what I want my quarterback to be, sitting in the corner not talking to anybody. I'd rather have a bold guy. Give me that.
Forget all the other stuff we're going to talk about because we got to go now. But that was damn good.
No, that's it. I'm done.
Brady,
I got nothing else.
That was outstanding. Yep. Thank you.
All right, guys.
Talk to you soon, Brady. That was Brady Quinn, former NFL quarterback.
And you
one
knew
of
it.
My favorite guests
You are
ever.
Such a – no.
What?
You're a bad guy. Like, you knew.
Listen.
You knew Brady and the Beat Writers.
Every
sounds like a band.
Great
Brady
player,
and the Beat Writers.
Every great player needs a guy to throw the assist, the alley-oop. That's all I was
Well, you
today.
Put him up from about 12 feet high.
We just won the slam dunk contest. Thank you.
Just,
with an assist.
You did Michael Jordan in his prime getting that thing up high and throwing it down right there.
Yep.
So much for the Cleveland, all the other stuff we're going to get to.
Six other things.
That stuff can wait. That stuff.
Yeah.
By the way, it was good because he has covered him. Brady doing the Pac-12.
I saw him at the Pac-12
Saturday,
conference years ago. Yeah.
And also doing some of those games on Fox.
He called an Arizona game. He saw the kid. He talked to the kid before the game.
I didn't realize how banged up and how bad it
they
was.
They were terrible, Joe. That offensive line
anyway,
was so bad.
Yeah,
everybody was bad.
But I do know we got to go now.
Brady Quinn, by the way, trending on the text machine right now. Trending upward. A lot of people are pretty pleased with what just happened.
Yep.
One thing about Brady, he doesn't give a crap.
No, he does not. Says it's on his mind, and I'm okay with that. Hence the reason I threw the alley-oop.
All right, so you can beat your chest.
Nope. No, I'm not. I didn't do
it.
All I did was
now
ask the question.
Alley-ooping. You better alley-oop out of here because we got to go, man. You have a good couple days off.
I am. It's time for my 40th birthday celebration this weekend.
Well, you're doing a big.
Yep.
You're doing a big.
All my buddies are listening. I'm on my way, guys.
We'll keep everything rolling here.
Try.
Dave Hyde will be in tomorrow morning. Have a great day, everybody.
Radio.com.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.